Our next item is equal access to Web 2.0 and beyond. As it happens, the web that we have now is not the one we'll have later. And so all the work that we've done to make this web accessible, according to some people's thinking, will be gone. And we need to have access to the web no matter what it looks like. To talk with us, we have a professor of computer engineering and computer science from California State University at Long Beach, California. Here is Professor Wayne Dick.
First, I'd like to say I'm happy to be speaking before the National Federation of the Blind. For me, it's kind of like getting an Oscar. Now, I'm going to talk about what's colloquially called Web 2. It's a real good buzzword. And it is a complicated thing. Before I talk about Web 2, let's talk about Web 1 for a second, because we've come a long way. First off, I think that we have to realize that before Web 1, we didn't really understand what IT accessibility meant. And the invention of the web really made it absolutely possible. It did four things. First, it was widely available. You can go anywhere in the world and pretty much have the same user interface. It was cheap and reliable, which is pretty important. And then there were the two things that were just amazing discoveries. The first was hypertext, and the story of hypertext is pretty interesting because it was discovered back in 1948 by a guy that his computer was about the size of this desk and it wasn't connected to anything. Talk about a visionary. The second is the idea that you can separate how something looks from what it means. That is separation of presentation from meaning. And what that allowed was the ability to set up data in such a way that it could be translated to any format you needed. Braille, large print, voice output, and a variety of formats. Just about anything a human can read, we can transform web content too. Now, one thing I want to make really clear to you, if you can't use a web product, there's probably something wrong with the product, not something wrong with you. And listen, that's for our fully sighted people out there, too. We were doing a usability, an accessibility study on a learning management system, and my friend who does it with me, who's fully sighted, said, "Wayne, I can't use it and I'm fully sighted." He says, "I can't imagine how you can use it." And that's how a lot of sites are. So I think that a lot of people are afraid of technology, and they take that fear and they blame not being able to use a system on themselves, and it's really not the case. Usually if you can't use it, there's something wrong with the system. Now, there is an absolute standard as to what accessibility is, and it's represented by the four letters P-O-U-R. And what they stand for is perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust. And perceivable, if you can't read print, then you probably need Braille or voice. If you can't use a mouse, then you better be able to use a keyboard to operate your system. And once you've done these transformations, what you have in your hand better be understandable. My favorite example is tables. Once I've enlarged them by 500%, I find myself in the middle of a table reading the number 6, not knowing whether it's 6 apples or 6 microcomputers. And finally, it has to be robust. And what that means is that assistive technology can recognize it with 100% accuracy and transform it to the form that you need. And if it doesn't meet those criteria, it's not accessible. Now, what is Web 2? Well, first, they didn't throw any of the old Web 1 away, so we still have it, and it really is reliable. And it, everything on it can be accessible. But it also adds powerful new applications. And these applications have two properties. First, they act like a normal desktop application. So, and second, they are launched from a web page through a browser. Now, what this gives us is a world called the cloud. And the cloud is this place, people like Amazon created the cloud. The cloud is this place where these applications exist out on the network, and you don't have to load them on your computer. You just, when you log in, you get on the web, you run them, and you've got a word processor, or you've got a hand calculator, or you've got whatever it is you need. Now, there's some real geeky terms. I like the cloud, but there's some real geeky terms that goes with this. There's JavaScript. That's a particular programming language that runs on browsers. And for most of you, when you see the word JavaScript, you want to run the other way and leave the room. But in fact, there have been improvements in such a way that I think JavaScript is going to make our lives fantastically better. Now, there's also another technology called AJAX, which stands for, and this is great, Asynchronous JavaScript and XML. That's just a real everyday term, isn't it? Anyway, what it says is, all of you have had the experience on the old web where you type something in, you submit it, and you have to wait 3 minutes before the next screen comes up. What the asynchronous part does is it allows a whole lot of computation to happen on your home computer while somebody else is off looking for the answer on the web, and you don't have to slow down a lot of your work to use a web application. It's a very good combination. And now I want to do an example. And the example I'm going to do is a tree view. And a tree view is like an outline. And it's a very useful outline because it allows you to close down the lower levels of the outline and maybe only look at the Roman numeral level first, or then look at the capital letters. But it allows you to just expand that part of the outline that you want to perceive. If you can see, then you'll see it. If you want to listen, you can listen. If you want to read it with Braille, you can read it with Braille. The point is, in all worlds, space and time are valuable, and by being able to hide some of the information sometimes and unhide it at will is a very valuable operation. Now, This is an example of a desktop application. It's all over the place. You see it in the Windows Explorer. Anytime they have a file tree, you see a tree view. Unfortunately, most of the time, tree views are operated by a mouse, and that's it. So they're a great little thing, but if you can't use a mouse, you cannot operate the tree view. Now, the first solution before there was accessible applications in JavaScript, the first solution was doing what we call a passive form of JavaScript. They call it unobtrusive. And basically what that means is the web page still works if you turn your JavaScript off, but here's kind of what you get. Okay, this is just a little outline. And for those of you that are really fast JAWS users, I'm sorry, this is gonna be real slow, but you know, too bad.
Surfing basics. Table of contents. 1 safety. 1.1 getting in shape. 1.1.1 swimming workouts. 1.1.2 holding your breath. 1.2 wipeouts. 1.2.1 cover your head. 1.2.2 riptides and drags. 2 buying a surfboard. 3 catching a wave. 3.1 patience. 3.1.1 surf meditation. 3.1.2 feeling the wetness, cold and motion. 3.1.3 gossiping with other surfers. 3.2 position, ankle, timing. Period. 3.2.1 with a weight. 3.2.2 how steep should the wave be. 3.2.3 went to paddle like crazy. 4 surfing etiquette.
Okay, now if you have a passive approach, you do get all the information, but you have to listen to everything. Okay? And, you know, if that's the best you can get, it's, you know, it's okay, you know. I only fit about 50 to 100 words on my screen, so if I have a big long outline like that, I get about 5 on the screen, and of course, you who have to listen get 1 word at a time. So, and if you think about it, if this is a problem for people with sight, but they needed to collapse the space and open it up, then if you're only down to, you know, 10 lines a page or 1 word per listening unit, you really need to collapse these things down. Now, this application example that I'm using, I took from the open source. It just was published on Mozilla yesterday. They had fruits in there, but I put in surfing. I'd like to say that, and this is for the young people in the
surfing
crowd.
Surfing basics.
This is for the young people in the crowd.
Table of 1 safety.
I really don't advise.
1.1 getting in shape. Left. 1 safety, left, 1 safety, expanded 1 of 4.
I don't really advise surfing with low vision. I did it because I wanted to be cool, because when you're a teenager, you want to be cool more than you want to be safe. But I just body surf because, you know, then it's, if I run into someone, it's like playing rugby. Okay, now, suppose we wanted to get down to that very bottom one, surfing etiquette, okay? I didn't get into
1.1 getting in shape. 1.1 getting in shape. 1 safety. 1 safety. Closed
now,
1 of 4.
I'll be wrapped up pretty soon.
Okay, so we can go down
2
here.
2 buying us. 2. 3.
And what I'm
3.
Doing is
3 catching away. Closed 3 of 4.
With a mouse, I'm collapsing this. So if I read this whole thing now.
1 safety, 2 buying a surfboard, 3 catching a wave, 4 surfing etiquette, 4 surfing etiquette, 4 of 4.
You get to your goal. Not only that, if you notice, it tells you a whole lot of information about where you are, like 4 of 4 nodes and things like that. These are important things to know. Okay.
Application.
Now let's wrap up. The danger of Web 2 is twofold. First, it defines a whole bunch of new operations on the web, and that's an extension, and they're not defined as part of the original web. And second, a lot of vendors don't communicate with screen readers and assistive technology as to what these new objects mean. Now, the fix is a thing called the Y area. That's the Web Accessibility Initiative, Accessible Rich Internet Applications. And basically, this is just those Web 2 applications plus accessibility. And the accessibility, this is my last little techie point, the accessibility is sets up a contract between the web application and the screen reader. And basically what it does is it says, oh, this is a tree view. Now, screen readers already know what to do with a tree view if they get it in regular software. They just never got it from a browser before. So as soon as you tell them it's a tree view and you pass them a few parameters that they know what to look for, they can tell you what level you're at, how many nodes there are at that level, and they can allow you to manipulate it with a keyboard rather than a mouse. But you have to communicate, and that's what the Accessible Rich Internet Standard from the World Wide Web Consortium is doing. The challenge is twofold. Right now, the platform it's like what Wallace Stegner used to say, that real visionaries are people who can stand on railroad platforms that haven't been built yet. So I'm going to challenge any of you young geeky people or old geeky people to meet me after this, and let's make this work. Second, we really have to be vigilant about making the developers meet these standards. Unlike other technologies, we're almost ahead of the game with these standards. The excuse that we can't develop with accessibility just doesn't hold water anymore, especially in this particular case. So Web 2 has dangers, but it can work like a dream, but we have to maintain our vigilance. Thank you.
As it happens, I've heard a number of people say that the next version of the web would not be one that could be made accessible to the blind, and we have heard from an expert who has built the technology, or at least implemented some of it, to show that it can be made accessible to the blind. And for that, I am very pleased. And also, I tell you that I may need to call upon you when I decide to talk to the next company that wants to explain to us that accessibility to information on the web is not for us. We don't believe it, and we never will. Yeah. It's an honor to have you with us, Professor Wayne Dick, and we appreciate your being here. Now, Diane, give us a prize.